Carol and Donna, you got to join us? You got to come in? Just sit down. And get your hugs in. Okay, everybody watch Donna and Carol hug. Okay, they're hugging. Okay, that's good. How long is it? Okay, the hug's done. And then Donna's going on. Okay. Ryan's coming back in. And Bob's still out there. Huh? Yeah, it's that commentary side of me, you know? You know, I don't miss being on talk radio at all. But I really, 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 really miss being on TSN 1200 every once in a while. I used to go on there and fill in for the guys. I miss that. That was fun, you know. Alan, this is called filler, you know, until everybody gets in, you know, like kind of loosen the crowd up a little bit. See the title there? See the title there? This is Alan. He's embarrassed enough. First time here and everybody's singling him out. Poor guy, man. I mean, leave him alone. I don't need, we'll pray for him then, okay? Like, man. Yeah, I know. God keeps setting French people this church. You gotta pray we get a French work going. We really do. This is gonna sound great. Yeah, I wish. Oh, I do. I have prayed for that. God, give me French, you know? Like, man. You know, with my luck though, he'll give me like, Urdu or like, or Hindi, you know? Here I am. Ministering in French, and he gives me a Pakistanian dialect instead. Okay, I'm going to pray now, and then we're going to talk, okay? Enough of the fooling around. Father, thank you for this wonderful family, God. Thank you, God. Now, God, we open up our hearts to you, God. Please speak. Amen. Who are you with? Who are you with? That's the title today. Who are you with? Look beside you. Who are you with? Okay? Who are you with? You ever see the T-shirts? I'm sure you've seen, let's see if this is working here. Have I got it on? Yeah, it's on. You seen the T-shirts? Okay, I'm with the pretty girls. You ever seen that one? How about I'm with the band? I'm with Stinky. And then I'm sure somebody in that crowd has got this T-shirt. Okay, I'm a stupid. Okay, like you've seen that side. Now, who do you identify with? Who do you identify with? Like, who are you a part of? I'm a part of a lot of things. I'm a Lions fan. I'm a Wolverines fan. I ride a Harley. I'm a Tigers fan. I'm a Sens fan. I play Mapex drums. And that's where I'm at. That's who I'm with. Okay? Now, this isn't in my notes, but I'm going to tell you, whoever you're with, whoever you're connected with, whatever turns you on, every one of these things has the potential for idolatry. Has the potential to come between you and God. Now, here's something else. You don't know when it's idolatry. You think it's, oh no, that's okay, that's just my motorcycle. Oh no, that's okay, that's just my hobby. That's why we need each other in the body of Christ. Okay? Because you've got blind spots, and if you're in this body, and we love each other, we're gonna help each other with this kind of stuff, okay? And don't get ticked off if somebody, now, granted, there are some people that are busybodies and haven't got the victory yet, and aren't as quite as Christ-like as others, that'll always be pointing out faults. I'm not talking about people like that. If you have somebody that you love and appreciate and you see Jesus in them, and I hope they love you enough to call you to account on things. Okay? Because every one of these things, and there's nothing wrong with any of them, but every one of them can make it difficult for you, and these are just mine. Every one of these can make it difficult for me to grow in Jesus and to be what Jesus wants me to be. Okay? These are who we're with. Okay? You might be in a biker club. You might be part of a corporation. You might be part of a religious denomination, a political party, a fan club. Had some fun online with this, okay? These are real groups. They exist. I researched them all. These are not fake, okay? This is the Ejection Tie Club, okay? The Ejection Tie Club is all of the pilots who survived an ejection from a jet. There's a club, okay? And they meet and they compare notes, okay? It's a real club. Here's another one that's based in Nottingham University in England. It's the Extreme Ironing Club. These guys go to crazy places to do their ironing and take photos and share their experiences, okay? Now, we've got one of these clubs in our church you don't know about, we don't talk about it, but it's called the Bible House Alley Club, okay? And there's only three members in the Bible House Alley. Me, Bobby, and Hal. And this, we hope you don't ever join this club. You do not want to join this club. These people, all three of us have lost our side rear view mirrors, backing into the alley, okay? You don't want to join this club. but we have an affinity for each other. We're in the same club, you know? You like that. We're humans naturally gravitate to people that share stuff in common, okay? So I go back to title. Who are you with? Where are we going with this? Well, let's have some fun with it, okay? Here's Peter and John, and if you look in Acts 4, these guys, about 7 or 8 weeks after, the resurrection, about 2 weeks or a week after the day of Pentecost, okay? And they've gotten really emboldened, okay? They know Jesus is risen. They're not afraid of anybody anymore because they realize their Savior conquered death, so they're not afraid of death. And they've been empowered with the Holy Spirit. They are fearless. So they have gained a reputation for going right in. Where's the cultural center? Where's the natural meeting place? Where's the Times Square of Jerusalem? It's the temple. Okay? It's the Temple Mount and the commoners area outside, and they got money changers and everything. Everything is there. So they've gained a reputation. They're not afraid of anybody. They've been preaching on the Temple Mount in the common, you know, the Gentile area on the outside, the portico, okay? And, this guy gets healed, and it's miraculous. It is miraculous. Everybody freaks out, okay? So they get called before the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin thought that they got rid of this thing when they got rid of Jesus. But now it's like going crazy. And it's got, you see, the disciples, they're good guys, but they're not perfect and they're not as wise as Jesus, but they seem to be even more fearless. Okay? And it's not like there's just one of them now. There's all kinds of them. We gotta do something about this. Okay? So they know these guys, they go after them. They're preaching there. And that's where we pick up Acts 4:12. Okay? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame and was being asked how he was healed, he was lame, not blind, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified. Can you believe this guy? This is the same guy that 8 weeks earlier, there's this little slave girl says, hey, you were with him. No, it wasn't me, was it? Denied him 3 times. Same guy, okay? Then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it was by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Jesus is the stone you builders rejected. He's making it personal here, okay? Which has become the cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there's no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. When they saw the courage of Peter and John, and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note. Remember the title is, Who Are You With? They took note that they had been with Jesus. They had been with Jesus. So I'm asking us, who are we with? Who are we with? They're unschooled. They're untrained. They have little knowledge of the political correctness of the day. Okay? And they weren't well versed in the Jewish faith. They hadn't been to rabbinical school. They'd been with Jesus. Who have you been with? Who are you with? There's 5 points. They don't rhyme. They don't start with the same letter, but they're 5 thoughts I want to leave with you. If you get one of them, it's not bad, okay? But I'm going to give you 5 to chew on from what we've just been looking at, okay? First of all, these guys did a miracle. These guys had authority. These guys got the entire city going, wow, this is amazing, okay? And the Sanhedrin had all the political power, all the wealth, all the money, and they didn't have the favor of the people, okay? The only people that were following them were people that were interested in political power and wealth. But people that were interested in the real things of life, okay? The disciples, they had that audience, and people were converting to Christ by literally the thousands, by the first, second, third week. After the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, okay? So, point number one from who are we with? Learning the ways of the world is not the most important path to greatness. Have you got that? Learning the ways of the world is not the most important path to greatness. Now, when I say ways of the world, I'm not talking drinking and smoking and wearing blue jeans and going to movies. That's what I was raised in the 60s. That was the ways of the world. The ways of the world are, make sure you get a degree. Make sure, you know, you know the right people. Make sure you dress right. Make sure, you know, it's all image, all image, all image, okay? The ways of the world. It's not the most important. Now, I'm not putting that stuff down because in some circumstances that can help. And it can be even used of God to bless people and encourage others, okay? But that's not all there is, okay? In fact, that's secondary. It's maybe third, fourth on the list, okay? God will show you in your life That's not the most important. That's not the priority path to greatness. What power and wealth offered in the temple where they were preaching, what power and wealth offered, Peter and John weren't impressed with that at all. Okay? But since they could see the man who had been healed standing there with them, there's nothing they could say. That's the Sanhedrin. So they ordered them to withdraw, Peter and John. They ordered them to withdraw from the Sanhedrin and then conferred together. What are we going to do with these men? They asked, everyone living in Jerusalem knows they have performed a notable sign, and we cannot deny it. Peter and John here are exposing by the sheer force of their, and I like this term, I've never used it before, okay? And I don't know where I stole it, because everything I've ever said I've stolen from somewhere, okay? By the sheer force of their spirit-energized character. Like that? I think that's a good description of somebody who's really filled with the Holy Spirit. Spirit-energized character. Now me, I'm pretty hyper. No, not just hype. Okay? Not just excitement. Spirit-energized character. By the sheer force of their spirit-energized character, they are exposing how pathetic, how anemic, how wimpy the Sanhedrin is. You got this guy who's lame, and everybody knows he's been lame because he's been in the temple begging for decades. And he's walking and leaping and praising God, okay? And their reaction is, what are we going to do? All right, sick. What a stupid question. If they had any insight at all, the question would have been, okay, what do we do with the facts? They said, you know, no one can deny it. We can't disprove that. There's several possible answers here, okay? I'm going to give you five answers they could have done, okay? They got these guys in. What are we going to do now? Because this is a miracle. Everybody knows it, and we can't deny it. What are we going to do? Here's five options. They can investigate. That'd be a lot of work. They can embrace. They'd lose power. Too unpredictable. Don't know. You know, if we embrace this and follow along, man, we could lose our secure positions. They could ignore it. Well, the problem would persist. It's not going to go away. They could persecute, and their popularity might be affected by that. Or they could run away, you know, and their reputations would be sullied as cowards, okay? There's maybe a couple other options, but five, that's pretty far up there. There's their five choices there. What are they going to do? Well, because they're lazy egomaniacs, they choose option four, okay? And they can't even do that right. Because they're so, you know, wishy-washy. They get together, what are we going to do? And they wanted, and this is what people do in the world that don't have the Lord. They wanted to, and it's not a bad thing, but outside of Jesus, it's pretty hopeless. They wanted a common ground, okay? They wanted status quo. They wanted the path of least resistance. They didn't want to rock the boat. Most people are like that. That's our default position, okay? When you're with the people who have been with Jesus, okay? When you're with people who have really been with Jesus, the middle ground gets smaller and smaller and smaller, okay? And it's hard to stay on middle ground. It's hard to maintain middle ground. Being with Jesus messes things up. Being with Jesus provokes. It shakes things up. You end up having to make choices because, point number two from this, because real courage affects everybody. Real courage always touches people. And there's real courage going on here. It's spirit energized, which thank God is available to all of us. And that's why we're here. We want more of that. But it affects everything. It affects everybody. Great scripture, Matthew 11:12. Some of you have even showed this to me in the last year or so. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been subject to violence. The actual translation means forcefully advancing. The kingdom of God has been forcefully advancing, and forceful or violent people have been raiding it or advancing it. You read that at face value, you go, huh? What? Sounds like we're a bunch of terrorists. But if you go to the original Greek, it is an understanding that when Christ comes in, you're not afraid of anything. And the empowering of the Holy Spirit and what happened in the book of Acts just leaves more credence to this. It is the force of the Holy Spirit. It is the force of God that advances. It's not to do with compromise. It's not to do with, you know, and we know love, everything's got to be filtered through love. But love can be pretty anemic if you don't make the right choices. Love can be pretty dead and pretty selfish if it's not real, okay? Forcefully advancing. The force of Peter and John exposed the Sanhedrin's impotence. Like that word, impotence? Not a word that you want to be known for, you know? A man with an argument will never win over a man with an experience. Let me read that again. A man with an argument will never win over a man with an experience. In other words, I've been there. I've seen it. I've got first-hand knowledge. How fresh is your experience with Christ? Have you been with Him? Okay? Have you been with Him? Or you just know about Him? Okay? When I've got plumbing issues, okay, I don't want someone who studied plumbing all their life fixing my sewage system. I want a guy that spent thousands of hours actually fixing sewage systems. This is a real picture. This is not just for like online. The story behind this is this guy was a hero because there was a sewer backup, and this guy went right into the sewer to undo it, okay? A plumber that's been a plumber for a long time. That's a guy who's dedicated to his work right there, boy. Whoa, okay? Some of you don't know this, but you know, remember they had the prayer meeting in my basement? And the prayer meeting in my basement, we had a lot of traffic down there. People using the toilet a lot. I'm not going to gross them out, Heather. It's okay. Okay? My poo-poo pump in the, you know, got clogged and it was like overflowing. And you got to do something. You can't just let that go. And I got a really good plumber buddy, Dave. Dave comes over. And, you know, I love Dave. Dave loves the Lord. Goes to the Met. Okay? And, so I'm going to go down there and help so that I can kind of get an idea of what's going on. And I'm not liking this because I know what's happened when we, oh man, okay. We get in there and he get, take the thing apart. We literally had to take the pump all, it got all clogged up with, you know, the worst imaginable stuff. And we, you know, and you got to do it because if you get a new pump, it's $1,100. Okay. And it was the bill was $400 just to undo that and he put it all back together again. Okay. But I trust Dave because Dave knows his stuff. And I'm gladly pay somebody that kind of money because I know he's not going to rip me off. He's honest and he knows he's done at least 10,000 hours. Okay. And that's the rule of thumb for a trade. And Hal, you would know this working at Home Depot. You don't really know your trade unless you've spent 10,000 hours doing it. You're not really a master unless you've done it for 10,000 hours. Okay. Let me give you some perspective. I did talk radio for 32 years. And I sat down once and totaled up all the hours. You know what it was? About 8,700. I'm still not a master talk radio, even though I put that many hours into it, okay? And I believe that because I've seen the trades and how well they do it. Because a plumber, an electrician, whatever, these guys, a doctor, for instance, he doesn't even think about it. He's doing things without even thinking. He just knows how to do the work. You want somebody that's a master like that, okay? Now, think about our relationship with the Lord. How much are we with Him? How much are we with Him? Okay? They had been with Jesus. He was living through them. He was speaking through them. He can do that, you know. He can do that. In fact, He wants to do that. He wants to live through us. He wants to speak through us. They were unschooled Galilean hicks. Okay? They had a hillbilly accent. Okay? Because they're from the hills of Galilee, the rural areas, and when Peter was denying the Christ, your accent gives you away. And the comparable in the Hebrew they were talking would have been a southern drawl, you know? You crucified Jesus, you know, like right away you hear that tone of voice on CNN or CBC, you immediately make evaluations of the person right away. That's the type of accent that they had. They were unschooled hicks. Courage. Courage always commands respect, even from your enemies. Always, okay? Peter and John, they knew the value of their own courage. Now, they would not look at it, their own courage. They would look at it as the empowering of the Holy Spirit. But it manifests itself in courage, okay? They knew the value of that. I mean, look at how they pray. You know, look, this is after the fact, okay? They've just been told, stop preaching, okay? Now remember, these are not just wimps. I mean, they've been exposed to Sanhedrin for what they really are. But you gotta remember, these guys are under, they've got sanction from the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire, the Pilate and the rest of them, they could go in there and they can kill whoever they want and no questions asked. Okay? They're not gonna put it on CNN and then they're gonna post it on Facebook. We gotta do something about the authority. No! Okay? I mean, they just arbitrarily kill people. Okay? They knew that their courage, they knew the value of it, okay? Because look at how they pray after they're rebuked and after threatened. This is in Acts 4:29. Now, Lord, consider their threats. And what do they say? You know, keep us safe. Give us journeying mercies. Cover us with your blood. No! Enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. In fact, give us even more courage, God. Give us even more courage. So, choices, right? Choices. We make choices. Who are you with? Are we going to choose to be with the Lord? Because if you're with the Lord, you're going to be making choices. Are you going to make things happen like these guys? Are you going to watch what happens? Well, yeah, I go to church. Or are you going to sit around wondering what happened? Sanhedrin. Think of these guys. They're political. They're compromising. They're trying to hold on to power and status and reputation. They may hate Peter and John. But they have far more respect for a courageous, committed disciple than for a compromising Christian. A compromising Christian is going to be no threat to them whatsoever. These guys, well, what are we going to do? Wouldn't that be great? You're so filled with the love and the tenderness and the compassion of God that it's affecting your workplace and it's upsetting things and your bosses or your superiors or your co-workers. What are we going to do? If you are living the Christ-like, it's going to provoke change in people. It's going to provoke a reaction. When the light of Christ comes in, people are not ambivalent anymore. People are not whatever. Okay? It does things. Why? Because Christ in you is alive. He's alive. And whatever he touches, his life goes. You may not even feel like it. In fact, the devil will make sure that he makes you feel like somebody said to me, well, I don't have a story. Okay? My salvation's nothing. You don't realize how powerful your salvation is. You don't realize how powerful, and the devil's very good at making people think that what is inside them, Christ, isn't that spectacular. Okay? Nothing could be further from the truth. That's why we don't water down the message here. Okay? And on Tuesday nights and on Thursday nights, and we don't water down the message. Here's the message. Peter gave it. Salvation is found in no one else. For there's no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. You wouldn't believe how much universalism and Jesus not being the only way to heaven, you wouldn't believe how much that theology is creeping into evangelical Christianity. Oh my goodness. Well, as long as you're sincere. Well, God's the judge. Well, everybody will eventually come to Jesus sooner or later. Oh, so believable. Oh, so, yeah, well, that makes sense. Yeah, yeah. Look what Peter said. We traffic in love, okay? We traffic in compassion and tenderness and forgiveness. But all that stuff is meaningless tripe without the message that we courageously proclaim. You have to proclaim that message with all kinds of compassion, love, and forgiveness. But if we don't live by that, all that other stuff is just froth. It's nothing. It was Jesus that was recognized, not their giftings. Have you got that? Wow, these guys could really speak. No. They still were unlearned men. In fact, they probably used some profanity or some coarse words, okay? What's the only thing that was distinguishable? Ah, they'd been with Jesus. They'd been with Jesus. It was Jesus that was recognized. Just like you don't even feel like it, but it's Jesus that's recognized in you when you've been with him. Giftings are nice, but they pale compared to the giver. Let me say that again. Giftings are nice, but they're nothing compared to the giver. Okay? We seek him first. What do you want? Do you want a gifting you can use or the giver? Living and loving and speaking through you. The Sanhedrin. How did they get such boldness? Okay. They've been with Jesus. Maybe that's it. I mean, these guys were living in darkness and they still recognize Jesus. If you haven't been with Jesus, listen, if you haven't been with Jesus, you don't have much to be bold about. You don't. I'm not talking about just showing up for church here, okay? What died in your schedule? What job didn't get done? Who didn't get called? What event did you miss? What TV show was ignored? What sport event did I miss? So we could get with Jesus. Okay? That's what I'm talking about. Last one. No, not last one. Your best qualities are the Christ-like ones. Okay? Your spouse knows. Your best qualities are the Christ-like ones. The best compliment you'll ever get, the best compliment you'll ever get, and I hope some of you get this, and I hope you'll handle it properly when you get it. You remind me of Jesus. What impressions are you trying to make? I gotta be me. You ever heard that? Oh, that's so big, isn't it? You watch Oprah, you gotta hear that all the time. Gotta be true to yourself. Oh, that's the secret. Gotta be true to yourself. You know? Dear God. I'd rather be true. Come on. I'd rather be truer to Christ. Christ is way truer than John Counsel. Give me a break. You know? True to yourself. What an ego trip. That means you're not accountable to anyone except yourself. Wow. Wow. That's the implication. Be true to yourself. You don't have to be accountable to anybody. True to yourself. You ever met people that are not accountable to anybody? You ever met people that don't care what anybody else thinks? I don't want to be around those people. Do not want to be around those people. Now, I don't mean to be down on yourself because, you know, that's not good either. But when we have Christ come in, oh my goodness, he empowers. And when we're true to him, wherever we were before, he lifts us and he empowers. If you're not Christ-like, if you're not Christ-like, get with him. That's not a condemnation. How do you become Christ-like? You hang around him more. Okay? Some of you have heard of a satirical Christian magazine that, oh, it was up to about 500,000 people subscribing to it back in the late 70s and 80s. It's called the Wittenberg Door. It's a Christian satire magazine. Every year they would award the theologian of the year. Tammy Faye Baker got it one year. And in one year they actually awarded it to Mr. T. Okay? Because Mr. T calls himself a Christian. I don't mean to be judgmental on the guy, but they actually interviewed this guy. And they said, well, you know, you advocate violence and live in a lot of violent movies. Is that the way Jesus would live? And this is what his answer was. I ain't Jesus. Oh, dear God. Yeah, and that's why nobody took him seriously when it came to his relationship with the Lord. Nobody. Okay? He was like a cartoon character. I don't mean to judge the guy. Okay? And for all I know, he is saved. But I don't know about you. I know a lot of people who confess Christ as Lord that make me go, oh, dear God, please. You know what I mean? You know? It doesn't mean that you're Christ-like if you're saved by the grace of God. And it's not his will that any of us just be saved by his grace. He all wills that we be conformed to the likeness of his son, according to Romans 8 and 29. Okay? Have you been with Jesus? Can your spouse tell that you've been with Jesus? Can your kids tell? Can your neighbors tell that you've been with Jesus? They may not word it like that, but there's something there. Can your coworkers tell? I'm going to put up the fifth point I want you to get from this. And I'm hardly going to comment on it at all. I'm going to like close a prayer and just move on here, okay? But hopefully this whole thing about being with Jesus, this whole thing that, you know, the example of Peter and John and their boldness and they've been with Jesus. Here's the last and to me the most important line, okay? He wants to upset evil through you. You got that? He wants to upset evil through you. Close your eyes. Close your eyes. Nobody looking around. If you don't know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you've never given your life to Christ, okay? That's the most important thing to us in this little family here. And I don't know everybody here. I never do. There's always, you know, people that come in. And if you don't know Christ, you've never confessed him as Lord and Savior. And we don't embarrass people. We don't center them out. We don't ask them to come forward or anything like that. But we have a really good way of making sure. And if you want me to pray for you and you want to make that right this morning, I want you to put your hand up real quick and put it right back down again. Okay? Up and down real quick. Okay? Good. Everybody's right with God. For the rest of us. Okay, God. I don't mind asking this because this is my family. I love them and I don't mind pushing them because I know how much I love them. And Lord, I'm asking, Lord, I've heard, Lord, you referred to, Holy Spirit, I've heard you referred to as the hound of heaven. I've heard you referred to as a nag as well. Lord, not in a condemning way, but in that powerful, beautiful, releasing, convicting way. Lord, I'm asking you, please, and God, I know I've got brothers and sisters in this room who are right with me right now, and they are agreeing with me, okay? And they're joining in agreement in prayer with me right now. Holy Spirit, please, we need you to nag us about this. Will you nag us? Will you convict us, okay? I spend too much time watching TV. I spend too much time on my phone. I spend too much time laying around doing nothing, God. I should be, God, I know I can spend more time with you. And God, your mercy blows me away because I know how much time I spend with you and your goodness and your kindness in spite of my laziness, in spite of my, you know, distraction, Lord. You're amazing. Lord, you deserve so much more out of me than I'm giving you. And God, I'm inviting you into my life again. And Lord, I'm loosing you and I have agreement with brothers and sisters here. God, would you start bugging us like crazy about our time with you? God, people in this room that don't have a system for reading the Word of God, God, would you give them a system that's meaningful and that works for them? Would you give them a time? God, wherever they make the time, God, something's going to die. Something's going to suffer. God, they can't just do this. Lord, it's not just fitting you in with their schedule. It's letting you be Lord of their schedule, God. God, nobody looking around. That's good. I don't have to tell you to keep your eyes closed because everybody's got their eyes closed. That's good, okay? How many would say to God with your pastor as your witness, okay? Nobody looking, please, okay? This is not for anybody except you and God, and I'm the guy you confess before men, okay? And he'll confess you before his Father is in heaven. How many would say to God, John, I want Jesus to be Lord of my schedule. I want Jesus. Wow, look at that. Look at, oh man, I love you guys. You guys are amazing. You guys are amazing. Wow. Maybe I'm not pastoring you right. I don't know. I don't know if a pastor could, you know, I don't know if a pastor ever had a crew as his, I didn't even ask you to raise your hands and that just came out of my mouth and over half you put your hands up right away. Kind of makes me change the prayer. And I'm going to have to change the prayer. I kind of knew where this was going, but I was wrong. Okay. Close your eyes. God. God. God, I can't give the leadership that this church family, Lord, deserves. I'm not up to the task, God. These people are too good for me, God. I've never had a crowd like this, God. And I gotta confess before them this morning, God, how incapable I feel, God. God, you know all those times we say, this is your church and you gotta take over. And you know, Lord God, a lot of that has to do with, God, I can't do this, God. Lord, you know how many times, God, I've been afraid that people were going to leave because, God, they just got fed up and counsel just doesn't cut it, God. Lord, would you show us, God? Would you lead us in the name of Jesus? Would you give me wisdom and whoever else, Lord God, you want to bring into leadership so that, God, a crew that has got people this precious, Lord God, would be adequately led in the name of Jesus, God. In the name of Jesus, oh God. We gotta get with you, Lord. What we have isn't enough. The music isn't enough. The preaching isn't enough, Lord. It's not enough, God. But Lord, on the plus side, God, this crew is Jesus. Show them who they are in you. Show them how powerful their prayer is. Show them, God, what you've shown me, how powerful your Holy Spirit is in them, God. Show them, God. Show them, God. And keep us following you, God. We love you, Jesus. We love you. We love you. In the name of Jesus, amen.